Good afternoon. It is 5 o'clock on Wednesday, April 5th, 2023. I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the Public Service Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Julie Fedorchuk. So we have a quorum. Everybody's here. This is a public input session, not the hearing, but the public input session for a MDU rate increase case. The case number is PU-22-194. We had a similar input session this noon starting at 12 o'clock and got some interesting comments from folks for a while. And we'll open it up again now. And I'll check if the commissioners have any other opening comments. But then I just will say that the first thing we will do then is have the company kind of just go through and give a real high-level overview of their actual proposal. And then we'll turn it over for public comments. And it's not really an opportunity for people to question anyone. That really happens in the hearing. But an opportunity for people to comment and bring ideas forward for us to investigate them in the hearing process. So, Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert, it's your portfolio. Did you have any announcements or opening comments?
Yes, I'm just going to give a brief overview because I know MDU will go into more detail about it, just how this case came to us and just some information. So MDU filed an application on May 16th, 2022, and the increase represents $14.94 per month to the average residential customer using 800 kilowatts. We do have three interveners in this case, AARP, Walmart, and Marathon Petroleum. The main drivers, and like I said, MDU will go through this in a little bit more detail, include their addition to Heskett Unit 4 gas combustion turbines to their base rate and other increases in the plant assets, depreciation going up, increase in labor costs, new hires and wage increases, and increase in the return of the equity. Just one additional piece of information, in when a rate case comes in, we do look at approving an interim rate increase, which the customers have seen, and that interim rate increase was approved and to be effective on July 15th, 2022. So that just is a brief overview on the case and what we're looking at due to the application with MDU.
Thank you. Commissioner Fedorchuk?
Thanks, Randy and Sherry. I don't have any opening comments. Look forward to questions from the public.
Okay. Travis, if you would give us an overview, I'd sure appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioners, and welcome to everyone, and thanks for the opportunity to be here and to present the case that we filed back in May. Move ahead one more slide. And so Montana Dakota is a subsidiary of MDU Resources, and we are a part of the utilities portion of that corporation. And we have sister companies in Idaho, Washington, and Oregon, and that is Cascade Natural Gas and Intermountain Gas Company. And then Montana Dakota serves in Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming. And we have a small company called Great Plains Natural Gas in Minnesota. The one we're here today to talk about is our North Dakota Electric Service territory. And as you can see on the map, colored in green there are our operations. We are largely in the western half of North Dakota, as well as a good share of south central North Dakota. We have just about 94,000 customers in the state, and serve in 119 communities. The request, as was mentioned, was filed in May of last year with a request of $25.4 million annually over our current rates. That results in an overall increase of 12.3%. Interim increase was effective in July of 2022. and that increase was approximately $5 per month, and that is based on $10.9 million, or an increase of about 5.3%. The last time that Montana Dakota filed a similar case was back in August. I should say the increase went in August of 2017, and that was $7.5 million, or about 3.7%. The primary reason for the increase is the 88-megawatt natural gas turbine that is located across the river in Mandan, North Dakota. We currently have an existing turbine over there, which is also 88 megawatts, and there are two coal plants there that are in the process of being decommissioned as we speak. The infrastructure investments since the last case also contribute to this rate increase. The combination of the Heskett turbine as well as the increase in our other infrastructure does result in an increase in depreciation as well as property tax. As most people, whether it's individuals, companies, we are, as a company, experiencing significant inflation. And along with that, our cost of debt and other costs are increasing as well. That puts some pressure on our labor as well. So those are the primary reasons for the increase. I mentioned the last time we implemented rates from a rate case was in August of 17. Since that time, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act really offset almost nearly a one-for-one, and that happened in November of 2018. And in addition, I mentioned the retirement of the coal units. There are three coal units. One was located in Sidney, Montana, and that was the Lewis and Clark Unit 1. And then there's two located in Mandan, and those are the Heskett Units 1 and 2. Based on our analysis, the closure of those three plants results in a net decrease or a net savings of about $13.8 million. So in terms of pricing for individual customers, for a typical non-space heating residential customer that uses approximately 800 kilowatt hours per month, that customer would see an increase based on what we requested of about $15 per month. Montana Dakota has proposed to collect a portion of that in the monthly service charge, and that would increase from about $14 today to just over $20. The remainder would be collected through the volumetric charge. In other words, as usage goes up, the cost to the customer goes up on each of those units. Again, the net effect is approximately $15 per month. To look at the increase for each group, you'll notice that, as I had stated before, the overall increase was 12.3%. Residential would be 17.3%. And as proposed, the small general and the other classes would range from anywhere from 4.2% for outdoor lighting all the way up to 18.4%. The reason in the disparity amongst the classes is based on our analysis of who is responsible for the company's incurrence of that charge, the cost causer, if you will, and based on what the rates are providing today. So based on our analysis, we tried to align the costs that the company incurs based on the service provided. And with that, that is the end of my presentation. With me at the table is Darcy Nigam, our system director of system operations on the electric side. I do have a couple individuals on the phone as well, should we need to reach out to them. But thank you, Commission, for the opportunity to present, and we'll be available should we have questions.
Thank you, Travis. And I don't have any questions, and I'll check with my fellow commissioners. But for the public that is listening and might think it's odd that here's the commission and they don't have any questions, we just heard this exact same presentation a few hours ago. So There might not be anything fresh, but I'll check, Commissioner.
I have a question. Okay. Looking at your primary reasons for increased requests, I'm just curious on supply chain. I know during COVID we saw a lot of issues with supply chain. I'm just wondering how you guys are affected currently with supply chain.
I think the answer to that is it varies. So I think on some specifics, transformers, for instance, I think there's a longer lead that Darcy could probably lead into. Just in general, some of the supplies, I think we're getting closer to real time. Mm-hmm. But Darcy, maybe you want to touch on some of the distribution and transmission.
Sure. Thank you, Travis. Good evening, commissioners. So part of that on supply chain, you know, there is some amount of stores, and at least as we plan for projects ahead of time, mm-hmm. you know, we had enough materials really to kind of, you know, work through at least the projects we had at hand. I think one of those was even in the spring storm last year up in the northwest part of the state, up in the Williston area. You know, even though we pretty much exhausted, I think, all of our supplies of being able to put, you know, some of the lines and the repairs that were out there, at least through some of the strategic alignments, we were able to get materials from some primary suppliers. You know, looking forward on this, though, when we take a look at how is it impacting us today and going forward, there's a lot more delay, especially in major pieces of equipment. Some of the large power transformer suppliers are out 2-3 years now on orders. You know, we've gone to places on, you know, transmission-sized circuit breakers that we normally have had slots for to be able to get so many per year. Those were even extended out, you know, about 6 to 12 months on those. So a lot of that is requiring a lot of pre-planning and trying to purchase things ahead of time. Or if we get some materials, maybe it's diverting it from one project to another to really work on the priorities we have. But certainly price increases are a part of that as well.
Sure. Well, it's good to hear some of the stuff is real time, but the bigger things we were hearing transformers out to 4 years. So, yeah, thank you for the update.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you, Randy. So, Travis, you mentioned this, I think, in your opening comments, but if you could restate when was the last official rate increase that you... that was approved by the commission, and for customers who see their bills going up without, you know, in the years since that rate increase officially was approved by the commission, how can you explain how the rates change in between official rate increases?
Okay. Yes, I can answer that. So the last time we filed a case, an official rate case like we're doing, that we're talking about today, those rates would have went back in place in August of 2017. So, you know, it has been 6 years, really, since we've had a case where we've raised rates. The other side of that is, on a monthly basis, we have... we call it kind of an automatic adjustment where we file every month to impact our fuel that we incur. And so that would be all the costs that we incur through purchasing power through MISO, coal charges for our generating stations, as well as natural gas. And we file those every month. And we have seen fluctuations in those costs over, particularly beginning in 2021. And I think as a company, we actually fared very well compared to most parts of the country. You know, we sit in a little bit of a pocket where we have a lot of wind penetration and not as big of a load. So we do benefit that, but we pass those through every month. And we also have some riders that we also update annually. So since 2017, we've had those. Generally speaking, those are small changes that most customers won't see. And the last couple have been actually reductions of you know, a few pennies to a few dollars per year.
Thanks. So really it's the base rates, which we set here, and that is the, they pay it in their basic service charge and the kilowatt hours based on usage. And that's the rates that are set here. And then you have the fuel costs that are a pass-through. Those change every month. And then the riders, which change annually. So those three components really make up the bill. And changes in any one of them affects what the customers pay.
I think that's a good summary, yes.
Lately, have fuel costs been, what have fuel costs been like? Like for coal, for natural gas, how have those costs been looking for customers this winter?
So coming into last winter, or I guess the never-ending winter, they were really high. And we have seen that moderate now. And I think we've seen both the MISO pricing as well as the cost of natural gas have been moderating the last part of this, of the winter. So we lag that a little bit in how we file our filings, so that the timing of that is probably going to continue to trend down over the next few months. But compared to 12 months ago, I think we're making pretty good progress. And if you think about what our electricity rates are, for our fuel and purchase power, we're at about 2.5 cents right now. I don't think there's probably a place in the world that wouldn't love to have 2.5 cent power. Mm-hmm. So we're getting back into a reasonable range that we are pretty comfortable with now. It seems like we're doing well. The other thing that has happened over the last 12 months, again, I mentioned the weather. You know, we got our first, at least in Bismarck, our first significant snow in November, and it's been white ever since. You know, if you do the math on that, that's 6 months of winter. In the month of March, we never hit 40 degrees. That's cold. I mean, these are January, February temperatures. So we've seen not only a little bit of that price early on, but we've seen volumes that are high, and it's weather driven. So the combination of the two, you're likely as a customer going to see higher bills. A lot of that's going to be driven by volume.
Thanks, Travis. I don't have any more questions.
Thanks. Those are good questions, and it made me think of one too. Before we go to the public input, would you just spend a minute or two, because this is a common comment we get regarding MDU resources, and just kind of explain the difference between some of MDU's non-regulated versus regulated, and then how the impacts of strong success or lack of success with the unregulateds impact what the regulated company does.
Sure. And I should have kicked that off. I had a little introductory slide, and he's gotten that back up on the screen. I talked about the utilities, and, you know, we're in 8 states. Again, to Commissioner Christman's point, we are one of the utilities, and MDU Resources really has a regulated section, which is utilities and pipelines, and then they have a non-regulated section, which is construction and the road materials and that, Knife River and CSG. So when MDU Resources announces its earnings, they're a publicly traded company, so they do that quarterly. That encompasses all the earnings of all of the subsidiaries of MDU Resources. And so to the extent that our construction companies have a significantly good year or bad year, that can change their earnings very significantly. And, you know, the pipeline, there's been a fair amount of expansion on a FERC-regulated which would be regulated by the federal government, not the state Public Service Commission. They've had expansions, so they've had additional earnings there. And then we are we, being the utilities group, is regulated in 8 different states, and then there's multiple jurisdictions in 4 of those states. So when we talk the particular proceeding that we're talking about today, which is electric operations in North Dakota, electric operations in Montana also play into MD Resources operations. You know, the gas operations in Idaho, if they have a good year, a bad year, strong sales, weak sales, that all plays into the earnings of MD Resources as well. So, again, we fall under the umbrella, and I think a lot of times we're confused because people call it MDU and MD Resources, and it's all one. But we are just the North Dakota electric operations are a very small part of the total operations of MD Resources.
Okay. Thank you for that. So I think we're ready to go to the public input part, and we have one guest in the room. I presume you have comment. And if people call in, it comes through our recording, and so we need to record this for our record. So will you come to the table and grab a microphone and share your thoughts with us? And we'll need your name and such.
Okay, my name is Earl McLenathan, and I live in Bismarck. I have actually a dual customer of MDU. I have a shop condo in North Bismarck, and then I have my house, of course. And the rate increase on the normal at my shop, I looked it up, I used between 500 and 600 kilowatt hours per month in the last couple of months at my shop. So I guess it's not going to hurt me there. But at home, I have an all-electric house. When they built the house in 77, 78, natural gas was not available in that part of town. So the neighborhood was originally electric. And the house I have, they put electric baseboard heat. I have no ductwork. My air conditioning is in the attic. The ductwork from air conditioning is in the attic. So I cannot just take the electric furnace out, put a gas furnace in, and solve the problem. Because the last I checked, and that was over 15 years ago, they wanted $10,000 to put the ductwork in the house, because my basement is finished and it has sheetrocked and textured ceilings in the basement. So the labor was just, and obviously that's just, I don't see how that's feasible. And so the last 2 months, in February and March of this year, I got my just the electric bill. I used 3,355 kilowatt hours and 2,819 kilowatt hours. Significantly more than the average 800 that they're discussing here. And I'm retired. I'm on a fixed income, one of them kind of guys. I'm very comfortable, but if this stuff, I was at the meeting yesterday on the city on my property taxes, I voiced my opinion there. 1 year they raised my house $76,000 valuation, and over the last 2 years my shop went up $52,000, according to them. We're still in discussion with them, but I've never been involved in these kind of things, and I think it's time that I get involved because it's getting more important that I'm beginning to feel this kind of stuff. Where before, if I was working, you just adjusted things. I have nothing to adjust anymore. So I was a question for you two guys. On this proposed sheet you gave us, I have a question on what is general service, who or what is general service, and what is small general service? Just a generic question because I don't understand the terms.
And they're welcome to answer questions, but I do want to emphasize to you, Earl, as well as any callers that might follow, this isn't really set up for people to Q&A the company or to grill us. It's about your comments, and so if they're uncomfortable getting into that kind of a Q&A process, it'll be left with us, and we okay. can I, have I, staff dig into
sorry,
it more.
I understand
but,
that.
I guess I'll leave it up to them whether they want to take a question.
Pardon? Yes, that'll be fine. Okay. So I guess I was just thinking at going back to the original thing. Like I said, I've got, 6,000 kilowatt hours in 2 months. I just, is there something that could be done for somebody like me that has no option? That maybe there's a cap or there's something in there? So, because if I'm using 3 or 4 times what your average person is, that's what my rate's going to go up. And I guess that's the end of my comments there. I just, there are those of us out there who have no option but to heat the house. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time.
That's a good question, and I understand the plight. We once had a house that was all electric, too. And actually, at the time, it really wasn't such a bad deal. It was in the country, and so the option was propane, and it kind of balanced out at the time. But nowadays, and especially in areas where gas would be optional, yeah, it would be very nice to switch that. But that's a lot of kilowatts per month, I understand.
Thanks for being here, Earl. I'm wondering, could you spell your last name?
M-C-C-L-E-N-A-T-H-A-N. Jeez, and I had it right except for I was one C short.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here.
Do we have any comments via the phone?
We have one at this time.
Let's take them.
Hello?
Hi, is Geraldine available?
That's me.
Hi, this is the Public Service Commission calling you back for your input on the MDU rate case.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I wanted to say that you guys took away the people being able to take payments from us, and yes, convenient to pay online and everything like that, but I'm disabled and I don't get out much, so it was nice to be able to get out and say hi to the people that worked there, and then if I had issues, they would explain things to me instead of having to call and ask questions. You know, I could just go to the person and do that. You know, it leaves me more isolated because really nobody comes to visit me. And it's really tiring not having people to talk to, you know. And then I don't get Medicaid and stuff. So, I mean, it's not fun to try to be able to afford to pay my bills on the money that I get every month.
Geraldine,
can
I get your last name, please?
Bingham, B-I-N-G-H-A-M, I used to be Ecator for 7.5 years, and my husband never helped me pay a single bill. And anyway, so we're now divorced, and I'm still in the same situation. Just I can't get, you know, I'm going to see about getting some help here, but I don't know that I can because of whatever limits they do with social services and stuff.
So which community do you live in, Geraldine?
Devil's Lake.
Has the storm subsided over there today?
It's going pretty strong from what I can tell, but it might be starting to subside soon, you know. But I don't drive a lot. And, you know, it's just nice to get out around town sometimes and see people, you know. And I'm not supposed to be on the computer a lot because I'm losing my eyesight in my right eye, because my right eye's always been bad from the age of 2. So, I mean, it's kind of nice to get to go out and see people and, you know, not feel all isolated, you know.
Well, let me see.
It's nice that they made things convenient on the computer and everything, but then they took away people that you could go see, so you don't have to feel so alone and isolated.
Okay. Let me see if either of the other commissioners have any questions for you.
So was an office closed in Devil's Lake?
They used to have an office right across the street from the grocery store, and they closed that some years ago. I can't remember how many years ago. But, I mean, my mom died just about a year ago, and it used to be my mom and I going up there to visit the ladies and the gentlemen, and it made things nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Geraldine, I'm from Hazen, and our office is closed too, and kind of miss seeing the folks there, but understand what you mean.
Because, I mean, I used to work at Walmart, and people go there just to see people, you know. And then they're like, well, this is about the only place besides the library that we can go see people. I mean, you can go into NBTC and see people, but, I mean, Otter Tail closed off people too, and it leaves the vulnerable adults like myself more isolated.
Can I ask you, Geraldine, is your service pretty good? Have you had any amount of outages or anything?
I haven't had any problems.
Good. Good. Well, I appreciate the input, Geraldine, and thank you for your time.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate you listening.
Yep.
Absolutely. Stay safe over there.
Take care.
You too. Thanks.
Anybody else online?
So we don't have any other callers right now, but I think we should hold it open for a little while yet.
At least quarter to, I think.
Yeah. So maybe you could just halt the recording and we'll just kind of stand at ease for a little while. We're resuming the public input session on the Montana-Dakota Utilities rate increase case. We talked and had a couple of public comments earlier, and there was no one else on the line or in the room to comment, so we just ceased operations a little bit. Jason, do we have any additional callers? No more callers? I'm going to just throw this number out one more time. 701 Okay, I'm going to start over with the number if someone wants to call in for this. 701-328-4081. And do that in the next couple minutes, because if no one calls, we're going to shut this down. While we're waiting to see if anyone calls, I will point out again that beyond this, anyone can also make written public input, and you can submit that either through email, and our email address is NDPSC, like Public Service Commission, so NDPSC at nd.gov. And you can also just write an old-fashioned U.S. mail letter to the Public Service Commission. Our address is 600 East Boulevard Avenue, Department 408. That's here in Bismarck, and the zip code is 58505-4080. And then your comments, you can have a lot of exclamation points at the end of each sentence, too.
I thought maybe you were going to say, with the old-fashioned mail, in cursive.
Yeah. Super old-fashioned.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. You don't have to type them. We'll take cursive or print. Anything else, Jason? Julia, Sherry, do you object to... I think we've given a pretty fair opportunity here.
And yep, I am comfortable with the allotted time.
Okay, we will call a halt to our public input session, and both this noon and again now this afternoon or evening for those that called, and for our one guest who showed up in person, thank you. The public input is valuable to us. It helps us frame questions, and also it helps our advocacy staff that is paid and working hard and has a lot of expertise in this subject matter to frame their case when we actually get into the direct hearing. So with that, we are completed. Thank you, everyone.